blessing. I have appreciated getting to know Brother Bragg better over these years. And 23 years at the same church down in Baldwin, Missouri. Got a good church down there. And look, folks, if nothing else, he is Brian Sharp's pastor. So to take care of Brian Sharp, you know God's blessed him, okay? And so, but he's been to Israel. God's using him. He travels. He preaches. He's a blessing. He's going down to Justin Leisure's place, Brother Ms. Rayburn's grandson, in Arizona next week for a family conference. And by the way, Brother and Mrs. Rayburn are great-grandparents again. And congratulations to them on another little great-great-granddaughter. And Justin and Erica doing well out there. And actually having good attendance in their services, Brother Caleb. I read that letter just this afternoon. Good attendance is out there in Arizona. So that's encouraging. All right. Well, Brother Bragg will preach to you after Brother Bragg sings. All right. So I don't know if they set this up on purpose this way, but here we are. So son sings, dad preaches, and they probably both got what they got from their wife and mother. Amen. So right? That's right.
Child that foolishly turned God away, not knowing the heartache a sinner must face, but God in His goodness has let me return to share with His children this lesson.
Appreciate the song. It wasn't his. That's not really his life testimony. He was a young man that was really easy to raise, and he was really one of the easiest ones of the three. Easiest one of the three to raise, and we didn't have a problem out of Michael. I was glad for that. The other two gave me fits, but Michael was seemed to be a good fella and easy to raise. But that is a good testimony. Sin will take you farther than you want to go and make you pay more than you want to pay and leave you there longer than you want to stay. That's true. Aren't you glad you're a sinner saved by grace? Right? Sinner saved by grace. I'm telling you, I'm amazed. I'm amazed at what God does. I'm just amazed. It's just amazing to me. Thank you, preacher, for allowing me to come. I asked him last year when he asked me to come back. I said, are you sure? Remember that conversation? I said, are you sure? I said, man, I was just there. Are you sure you want me to come back? He said, yeah. I want you to come back. And it's a privilege. It is an honor and privilege. I love your kids. I love your kids in the school. I left public school as a football player, playing football in high school. I love football. And I left between my sophomore and junior year to go to a Christian school my last 2 years of my high school years. I left a public school, a thriving football team, and a lot of kids to a class of three. My twin sister, and my, which is now her brother-in-law, and me. a big class of three. And by the way, I finished third in my class. I want you to know that. I finished third in my class. I'm telling you. I tell everybody that and they just look at me. I never tell them that I had three in the class. But nonetheless, we had a... I was glad for that decision. If it wasn't for a Christian school, I wouldn't be here. Now, I got saved when I was 14, but I'm telling you, I was one of those fellows that was popular in school. And had I not gone to a Christian school and left those friends behind, I don't know where I'd be today. I honestly don't know where I'd be today. And I love the Christian school, young people. I like preaching to them because I have a heart for them. I've been there. I sat where they sat. And I thank the Lord for them. Thank the Lord for you parents, for the sacrifice. For the sacrifice that you're making. I thank God for you. And I believe it's worth it. I really believe it's worth it. And I thank the Lord for this church and this school and the vision that your preacher has. I love your preacher. I thank the Lord for him. And we've known each other at a distance for many, many years. The last few years we've gotten to know each other better. And I thank the Lord for him. And I thank the Lord for this place. I thank the Lord for Brother and Mrs. Griffin and Doyce and Rachel and the family that Michael married into. He certainly married up. I thank the Lord for the Griffins. What a blessing Doyce and Rachel have been to us over the years. And now we're going to add another child to this church. I guess Jan is going to be moving here sometime soon. And I wanted to do this. I've wanted to do this many, many years. Jacob, I've got some letters for you, son. You better come and get them right now before I open them and read them to everybody. All right? You're welcome. Oh, man, I've wanted to do that so many times. And now my Bible smells good. You're getting Jana. Couple months. My wife and I are looking forward to an empty nest. We really are. But thank the Lord for our children. A lot of people have over the years I've heard complain about their children. Our children aren't perfect, but I tell you what we've tried to do. We've tried to enjoy every phase and aspect of their lives. We enjoyed when they're little, and then when they got in the elementary, and junior high, and high school, and in college, and now adults. And it's interesting to watch them grow. I tell you, children are an heritage of the Lord. It's a blessing. It really is, and I'm amazed at what God has done. I give Him the glory and honor and praise for everything. It's only by His grace. It's only by His grace. My wife and I are not perfect, and we worked hard at it. But the truth of the matter is, if it wasn't God, for God's touch and God's presence, we'd have zero, nothing. And so I thank the Lord for His goodness to us. All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 this evening. I have a message that I hope it'll be a blessing to you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And as you're turning there, let me just say this. One other church that started in Illinois, down in our neck of the woods, in Collinsville, Illinois, a fellow by the name of Chris Shirilla, they started the Victory Bible Baptist Church there in Collinsville, Illinois. I think they had a little over 60 on Sunday. They have their own building. It's absolutely amazing what God's doing there. It's just amazing what the Lord's doing with Brother Shirilla. And Brother Jay Griggs is there helping him. And Brother Griggs has moved his membership down and out of our church. But he's helping Brother Shirilla. What a blessing. They're seeing people saved and added to the church. And he really is excited what the Lord's doing there. And it's a needed ministry. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 14. And let's stand, please. We'll read just a few verses here. And then I want to preach on the holy will of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And let me just mention this. It says, in everything, not for everything, but in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesyings, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from all appearances of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, And I pray you, I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 23 is the text verse. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Not H-O-L-Y, but W-H-O-L-L-Y. Wholly, completely. I pray that God, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to preach on the holy will of God tonight. The holy will of God. Father, we pray now that you bless the reading of your word. We thank you for this good church, this great church, great preacher and his family. And so it's such an honor to be here. Heavenly Father, if all seats were filled and chairs were in the aisle and you wouldn't meet with us, Lord, we'd meet in vain. So, Father, we pray that you'd meet with us tonight. I pray that you'd speak through me to thy people. I pray that I'd give them something that would be a help and an encouragement and a blessing. Lord, I pray. Father, I pray the Holy Spirit would speak to them. I pray it wouldn't be me, but the Holy Spirit speaking through me to them. Speak to every heart tonight, we pray. If there's anyone here tonight that's not saved, though the message is not on salvation particularly, I do pray that the Spirit of God would speak to their hearts about their need of salvation and that they would get saved. Father, I pray that you'd help the Christians tonight, the believers in Christ. We ask it in Jesus' name, and for thy sake we pray, and amen. You may be seated. The holy will of God. Man is made up of three parts. We see this in verse number 23. Man is made up of three parts: spirit, soul, and body. Oftentimes we say body, soul, spirit, but we need to get it in the right order as the Bible puts it in order. Spirit first, then the body. Spirit first, then the soul, and then the body. Spirit, soul, and body. Man is made up of three parts. The part that God speaks to is our spirit. He quickens our spirit. He makes our spirit alive. Before we're saved, our spirit is dead to sin and dead in sin. But once the Holy Spirit of God gives us regeneration and new birth, He quickens us and He makes us alive. I think one of the greatest assurance verses in the Bible is Romans 8:16. The Bible says this: the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I believe the Holy Spirit of God reminds us, hey, you're saved. You're saved. You're saved. The Holy Spirit does that if you're saved. Now, if you're not saved, you go on into sin and nobody's talking to you. I'd suggest maybe you need to get saved. The Spirit of God speaks to our spirit. That's how He communes to us, and His Spirit with our spirit. We see this in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. Who hath also sealed us and give us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. When somebody asks me, how you doing, Brother Bragg, I always answer this way: saved forever. Saved forever. I never want to get over that. I am saved. I'll never spend a minute in hell. I'm saved forever. It's not because of me. It's in spite of me. It's because of Him. I'm saved forever. Then the Spirit of God. By the way, I am a confrontational soul winner. I believe in going out and telling people about Jesus. I believe in saying them, asking them if they'd die right now, you know for sure you'd go to heaven. I believe in that. But I'm going to tell you something else I believe in. I believe in partnering with the Holy Spirit as you go soul winning, asking the Holy Spirit to speak to that person and work on that person, because if there's no work in the heart by the Spirit, there's no regeneration. I want the Spirit to work, because if He doesn't, it's not me. It's Him anyway. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 13, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And then in Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. I'm so saved, it's pitiful. I'm telling you, I'm saved forever. It's the only kind of saved I know. I'm glad I got it. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Hallelujah! I don't want to have a running fit about that. You ought to get excited about that every day. Amen. The Holy Spirit is not a feeling. He's a person. He's my comforter. He's my teacher. He's my cleanser. He's my friend. He reminds me that I'm a child of God. That's the spirit in man. We'll get back to the soul, and then we have the body. The body, of course, is that outer shell which we relate to. We recognize and understand. Our body is also our flesh. I hear Brother Gomez saying all the time, slapping his hand, nothing but flesh, nothing but flesh. our body. Our body, it's the flesh. The Bible says this in Romans chapter 13, verse number 14, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So we have the spirit, and then we have the body. Right in the middle is the soul. Our soul. Now let me give you this truth. I'm sure you've heard this before. But the soul is made up of three parts: our mind, our emotions, and our will. Or our mind and our heart and our will. Our mind, our heart, and our will. Of these three parts, our mind and our emotions are most dangerous. And here's the truth that I want to preach tonight. Our will must dominate our mind and our heart. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, you can't trust your mind. And the older I get, the more I understand that. Amen. Have you ever met somebody and you said, man, I know that person's name. That person's name is. And then you go up to them and you say, hey, aren't you so-and-so? They say, no. Or Nick Johnson. I've called him Ben Johnson for I don't know how many times. You sure you don't want to change your name to Ben? I've called him Ben Johnson. I called him again today. I apologize, son. It's Nick, right? I got it right this time. At least tonight, anyway. In my mind, you're a Ben. I don't know why. But in my mind. And our minds sometimes play tricks on us. Amen? And the older we get, the more tricks it plays. Amen? Our minds. The Bible says in Isaiah 55:7, listen carefully. These are good RU verses, but they're good for everybody. Isaiah 55, verse number 7, the Bible says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Now, please don't look at me strange when I say this, because I have a sneaking suspicion that maybe some in this room have had the same thoughts. But sometimes when thoughts go through my mind, I think to myself, Lord, have mercy. That's a thought that a saved man ought not think. Amen. The Bible says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, God says, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We can't trust our minds. I used to think that the mind was the most important of the three, of our soul that's made up of the mind, will, and emotions. I used to think the mind was, because in the book of Romans, it does say in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But the truth of the matter is, the first part of that, verse number 1, is presenting your bodies. That's your will. You must present your bodies so your mind will be transformed. Sorry, but your mind's not going to be transformed in a rock concert. Your mind's not going to be transformed watching the computer. Wrong things on the computer. Your mind's not going to be transformed. Your will has to supersede your mind and your emotions. And then our emotions, our feelings. Can't trust your feelings. And I say I'm saved forever, but there's times when I don't feel saved. Huh? I don't feel saved. I feel like a low-down, dirty dog is what I feel like. But the truth of the matter is, the Holy Spirit reminds me, you're a child of God. And by the way, here's what the devil does. The devil says, come on and sin. Come on and sin. That's not that big of a thing. Then when you do, he says, look what you did, you hypocrite, you hypocrite. Holy Spirit does the opposite. The Holy Spirit says, don't sin! Don't sin! But when you do, he says, come on back. Don't stay long. Come on back. Get right with God. Come on back. Get right with God. Come on back. Get right with God. He does exactly opposite of what the devil does. The devil does exactly opposite of what God does. But you can't trust your heart. I've had parents sit in my office. I've been at this thing for a little while anyway. I was a principal for 6 years before I became a pastor. And you pray for Brother Michael Bragg and the faculty. You pray for him this year. Pray for the principal. The danger is you become too friendly with the students, or you become too cynical and hard on the students. And both ends of the spectrum are wrong. You've got to keep a balance. And so you pray for him. I was a principal for 6 years. I know exactly what he's going through, or principals go through. And after about 3 years, I decided that I started praying, Lord, if you could get me out of purgatory. No. really the Lord started stirring my nest. I went there as a school teacher, and I was going to be there for life. I really was. God started stirring my nest and said, Ed, I want you to go on. I don't want you to stay here. And the preacher, I went to him and I said, I need to resign. He said, can you wait a couple of years until we're finished with the building program? And I said, I'll do that. He said, you know, I don't hire relief pitchers. I hire gamers. And I said, preacher, I thank you for that, but I've got to move on. God wants me to move on. And we left on very good terms. But the truth of the matter is, my feelings, if I went by my feelings, I'd have stayed there. And then when I went to St. Louis, there wasn't a tree on the property where we have, in our church, it was rough. I pulled on the property, and the tree, and there's no trees, there's no shrubs, there's nothing. It's just a block building. Looks like a warehouse in the middle of, you know, and there's the parking lot's not paved. And I paved, and I went to the assistant pastor. I said, "Man, where's the trees and where's the pavement?" He said, "Man, don't you know nothing grows on a battlefield?" Hallelujah. Welcome to St. Louis. I wanted to go home. My feelings were, Debbie, let's pack the kids up and turn around and go back. But God didn't want me to do that. He wanted me to stay. So that's what I did. If I'd have gone by my feelings, let me tell you something. If I'd have gone by my feelings, now I'll just say this. My wife and I have never talked about divorce. Never. Because that's just something we don't talk about in our home. We have talked about murder several times and suggested it. I have to be careful because my wife got her concealed carry permit last year. So I have to be very, very careful and kind to her now. You can't trust your feelings. I had parents come into my office as a principal and they'd say, I want to trust my heart. And I've had students say, I just want to trust my heart. You know what the Bible says about that? In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse number 5, it says, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. For the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Then the verse number 10, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. The will must wholly, wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y, wholly dominate the mind and the heart. Because there's going to be times when your mind is going to say, now, I think he's crazy. Or your will is going to say, your heart's going to say, I don't feel like doing that. That's when the will has to take over. And you know what the book says. You must do what the Bible says. We have too many Christians today going by their feelings and going by their heart instead of the holy will of God in their life. We need to have our will. We've lost our will for Christianity. We need to have a will for Christianity again. If you read your Bible, pray, and come to church when you feel like it, you won't wholly, wholly do the will of God. First point of the message is simply this. Your will must dominate your mind and heart to wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y, serve the Lord. Your will. Your will. You have to purpose. You have to determine in your mind. You know, let me tell you, if God lets me come back in the coming years, you know who will be here? Those who determine I will be here. Those who determine, I'll be here. Unless God moves you someplace else. But given any other circumstances, those who determine to be here. 23 years in St. Louis, it's not because it was all fun and games. Because I didn't go there to quit. I went there to do God's will. Holy, holy do God's will. Holy. Let me give you some Bible illustrations of this. I'll try to hurry. Really, the first point's the longest, so if you just stay at it, we'll get to Dairy Queen pretty soon tonight. All right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 14 through 22. Being an English teacher and a history teacher, I see the understood subject in most of these verses is the understood subject, you. Look at verse number 14. But we exhort you, brethren. Now, he's talking about the brethren. How many of you are saved here tonight? Let me see your hands. He's talking about you, brethren. You, brethren. It says, warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, Be patient toward all men. See that you that none render evil for evil unto any man, but follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. That's not an option. Rejoice evermore when you feel like it. Rejoice evermore. You, brethren, rejoice evermore. Understood subject, you determined to rejoice evermore. You say, preacher, I just wish I could rejoice all the time. I see, Brother Jack Treiber, he's a rejoicer. He just rejoices all the time. And I thought to myself when I first saw him, I thought, man, no guy could do that. But I learned, it's not because everything's going hunky-dory for him. It's because he determined he's going to follow the will of God. He's going to wholly follow the will of God. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesying. There are 13 commands here that you determine. Let me tell you something. If you only do them when you want to do them, or when you think you ought to do them, you'll not do them. But if you determine in your will, I will follow God, I will follow the book, you'll do what He says. Noah, let me give you several illustrations quickly. Noah in Genesis 6, 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You say, I can't find grace in the Old Testament. Noah did. I see grace in the Old Testament. When everybody else was living wickedly, when the sons of God were marrying the daughters of man, when it was wickedness on this earth, more wickedness than we've ever seen, Noah said, I'm not going to do that. The Bible says Noah was a just man. As Brother Sharp teaches in his Genesis class. And I've learned the word just means forensically pure. He said, I don't care if everybody in the world is sinning. I'm not going to do it. I am going to stay pure. I'm going to stay moral. By the way, why do we Christians have to follow the world? We've got the greatest book in the world right here. Why do we have to follow them? They ought to be following us. We've lost our will to live for God. That's why. We don't want to find the grace of God anymore. We just want God just to pour it out upon us, no matter how we live. Friend, it doesn't work that way. We need to wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y, wholly follow God. We need our will to dominate our mind and our heart. Joseph is a great example. Joseph in Genesis chapter 39, verse number 4. And Joseph found grace in his eyes, speaking of Potiphar's now. And he served him, that's Potiphar, and made him overseer of his house. And all that he had, he put in his hand. It came to pass that from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Jacob's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored. It came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. The next words are very important. But he refused. Doesn't say, well, he thought about it a while. And his heart was kind of sad for her because the master was gone all the time. But he refused. He said, I'm going to determine my will. Is going to be, I am not going into that sin. Amen. It says, but he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wanteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath in my hand. And there is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything for me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do? How then can I do this great wickedness and a sin against God? He said, how can I do this? Our will has to supersede our mind, our emotions. The greatest one is in Ruth. Turn to Ruth chapter 1. I think this is the greatest illustration of our will overcoming our mind and our emotions. I love this story. By the way, I appreciate my daughter-in-law, Naomi. I love her. I thank the Lord for her. Naomi keeps my wife informed. You have my grandkids, this church. I do have a vested interest in your school. Next year, Leah's coming. Naomi has entreated my wife kindly. Daughter-in-laws, talk to your mother-in-laws. Listen carefully to this verse. This is free. It's not part of the message. Proverbs 19:26. He that chaseth away his he that wasteth his father, and chaseth away his mother, is a son that bringeth shame and causeth reproach. The only way, son, you can chase away your mama is to marry the wrong woman. The right daughter-in-law entreats the mother-in-law and keeps her informed. I appreciate Naomi. She sends us pictures of the grandkids. Other than touching them and holding them and smelling that baby smell, sometimes it's real strong baby smell, she entreats us. And I thank the Lord for her. Ruth chapter 1, verse 16. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee. She said, I beg thee, don't make me go, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, listen to these words, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. She didn't say a thing about it. My heart's with you. She didn't say that. It wasn't her heart and her mind. It was her will to go with Ruth. Go with Naomi. It was her will. Look at what it says in the rest of it. It says, and whither thou goest, I will go. And whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou lodgest, will I die. Where thou diest, I will die. And there will I be buried. And the Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. She said, Naomi, I'm determined to go. I must go. I have to go. It's not just my mind and my heart, but I'm determined to do that. It's a great picture of your will. You have to understand, she's leaving her Moabitish family. She's leaving her whole family to go to a totally different culture. She says, I'll do it. The next one is, let me just say this. I know that a person can't will themselves to be saved. I understand that. You're saying, all right, preacher, you're saying that a person can just determine and will themselves to be saved. No. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse number 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. However, I'm telling you that your will is stronger than you think it is. God's given us a choice and a will. You know what's the difference between our generation and last generation, World War II generation? They just did what was right because it was right to do. Whether they liked it or not. I think they got that from the Bible. And when they took the Bible out of the public school, we lost our will. You can say what you want to, but I believe that's true. We lost our will and determination to do things that are right. This is not part of the message. I'm throwing it in for free. But the reason why the President of the United States talks out of both sides of his mouth is because he's a Muslim. And in the Islamic religion, it's okay to lie as long as you advance the Muslim faith. That's why he says one thing on Friday night, Saturday morning, stands up and says something else. And I just want to remind us of this. When he campaigned, he said he's going to bring all the troops back and he was going to bring down unemployment. Neither has happened. But nobody's talking about that. That's just for free. When God speaks to our heart, listen carefully about salvation. When the Holy Spirit of God convicts you and speaks to your heart, He is a gentleman. He's not going to beat you and force you to get saved. You must willingly say yes to Jesus. Whosoever will shall come. That's how powerful it is. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse number 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Dr. Tom Malone used to tell a story about visiting a man on Monday. The man was weeping. The Holy Spirit was dealing with him. And he knew that he needed to get saved that night. And the man refused. He said, no, come back tomorrow, preacher. Come back tomorrow. I'll get saved tomorrow. Reluctantly, Brother Malone left. Came back the next day. That man was as cold as ice. He would not cry a tear. He said, I don't care about getting saved. Please leave me alone. I do not want to talk to you anymore. I got saved June 13, 1971. I got saved by saying yes to Jesus Christ. I repented of my sins and received Jesus as my Savior. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit did a work in my heart. God's a gentleman. He entreated me and drew me to Christ. I said yes. He gives you that option. It's how strong your will is. And our will has to dominate our mind in our heart. The Spirit of the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. Whosoever will, let him take of the water of the life freely. Number two, the second point of the message is this. Our will must be given to truth, or to God's will, to wholly follow Him. That's a pretty simple point. But our will must be wholly given to God to do His will. If not, we become a rebel, and we rebel against Him. We need to be wholly given to truth, to God's will. God, who is our owner, this is amazing to me. God, who is our owner, ought not have to beg us to serve Him. Ought not have to beg us to wholly follow Him. It ought to be automatic. We ought to be given to truth. We should have a strong will to follow truth. We have so many people questioning whether they ought to come to church or not, whether they ought to pray or not, whether or not the Bible is right or not. They question everything. We need to say, this is God's Word. It's been here forever. We need to do what God wants us to do. Holy. Holy. If it's truth, do it. I'll say again, that's the difference between last generation and this generation. They just did it. Hard times, they did it. They followed through. Jesus said in John 4:34, a great verse. I love this verse. Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. I love that verse. He was hungry. Noonday. Time to eat. Woman came to the well. He got to witnessing to her, talking to her about spiritual things. And He drew her to Himself. She went back to the city and told every man, hey, come see a man, told me everything. Is not this the Son of God? Boy, I tell you. And the disciples said, Master, who gave you food? Oh, no, no. He says, I got meat that you know not of. He said, my meat, my desire, is to do the will of Him that sent me. My drive is to do God's will. To do God's will. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 7. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Hebrews 10:9. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he might establish the second. Our surrendered, determined will, yielded wholly to His will, is a very powerful connection. When we say, I wholly follow You, Lord, that's a very powerful connection. It really is. Because then we're yielded to the One who has all power. We're yielded to One who has all power. And I'm just a mud ball from Indiana. If you reduce my body down to the scientific elements, it's worth about $1.98. But you breathe the Spirit of God into man, he becomes a very powerful tool in God's hands. In God's hands. By the way, men that are yielded to the devil become very powerful for the evil as well. That's why we need to be wholly yielded to His will for us. We can't pick and choose. This is not a buffet. This is a whole meal. It's a whole course. Take it from start to finish. It's a whole thing. Our surrendered, determined will, yielded wholly to His will, is a very powerful connection. Because we then, listen carefully, because we then are functioning completely or wholly as God created us to function. Go to Revelation chapter, I think it's chapter 4. I don't have it written, but I think it's Revelation 4, and I'm hurrying. Revelation 4. Our will, yielded to His truth and His will, wholly, is a very powerful, powerful connection, because then we start functioning as God created us to function. This is just off the subject, but you all listening so well, I just got to say this. God didn't create homosexuals. God didn't create lesbians. No, He created man and woman. Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Revelation chapter 4, verse number 11. I got to get back to my notes. Revelation 4:11 says this, and I love this. It says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. And by the way, He is. He's worthy. He's where I stand here tonight saying I'm not worthy, but I stand one for one who is worthy. He's worthy. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. I'm created for him, and I'm glad to be working for him. I'm trying to wholly, completely follow him. It's a very powerful connection. I have in my pocket an iPhone. One of our men who works for Panera's bread company, he's an IT man, and he was getting a new one. He said, "Preacher, you want my iPhone?" And I said, "Man, I don't know if it'll work with my plan." He said, "Oh, yeah, it'll work with your plan. Take the chip out of it and so forth." And he did all that stuff. And he just left the simple stuff. Now, I've got it turned off. Hallelujah. But this thing is a powerful tool. It's incredible what man's mind has come up with. Really, it's incredible. I sat in my lounge chair at home. My wife just a few feet from me. I thought I'd text her, just be kind of neat, you know. I'd text her. Then I'll text her something. And it wasn't X-rated, but it was just something that you just say to your wife. You wouldn't say to everybody. Okay? So I hit the button. And as soon as I hit the button, I go, "Oh no! Oh no!" I have forgotten that one of our church men had texted me right before I started texting. I text that message to one of my men. I'm telling you, I'm about as red as I am now. I'm telling you, I'm sitting there and I go, my wife's sitting there and she wasn't paying attention. And she goes, "What's wrong?" I said, "Oh no, oh no." Man, I dialed his number real quick. I said, Ken. He says, "What, Pastor?" I said, "Man, oh man." He says, "What's wrong, Pastor?" I said, I sent you a text. He said, "I know." I said, "I'd be greatly indebted to you if you'd erase that from your phone and your memory and never talk to anybody about that." He said, "It's forgotten, Pastor." The guy that gave me the phone also gave me a manual. But I didn't think I needed to read it, because I knew. The guy that created me, the God that created me gave me a manual. But sometimes we don't think we need to read it. You know, it's an amazing thing when we read this thing and we start following what God will do with us. My twin sister and I grew up in a broken home in Indiana, just out in the middle of nowhere, really. Farmers, my dad was a factory worker and a farmer all his life. My mom would work two jobs most of the time. She's now a missionary in Costa Rica, been there for 30 years, been to South Africa, been to Israel, just been all over. I've been to Israel four times and Costa Rica twice, and been to India once, and planning to go to Australia next year. What God has done, it's humbling. Because I'm just a dirt ball from Indiana. But I'm going to tell you something. I've read the manual. And I found out if you're wholly give your will to him, it's amazing what he'll do with you. It's amazing. Because now you're functioning as he has created you to function. We have so many people in this world functioning on their own, apart from this truth. And it's sad to watch them with their pop-riveted heads and their tattooed bodies. And I don't say that derogatorily. I say that pitifully. Because they're not doing what God wants them to do. What life they could have. If they just wholly, wholly, follow his will. The last point of the message is this. God is always a gentleman. He will never impose his will for salvation nor for service. The Lord's will is that everyone gets saved. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And if we believe that God is the one that does the choosing, he chooses some for heaven and some for hell, then we are Calvinist. And I am not that. I believe in whosoever will. Amen. He's a gentleman. He's not going to push his way in for salvation. If God imposed his will on everybody, everyone would be saved. God wants you to be saved, but he wants you to come and humble yourself so that you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Then for service, God again, now that you're saved, "Oh, he's going to make me." No, 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 no. No, you have a will. Now that you're saved, Are you going to wholly follow Him? Paul said in our text, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Paul said, "I would to God that you'd give everything wholly to Him." So, well, I just don't feel like going soul winning. You have a will. Everyone in here could go soul winning. Amen. You could. Everyone in here can pray. Could pray. Everyone here can follow the will of God if we wanted to. Now, I'm not talking about full-time service. I'm talking about full-time Christian. That's what I'm talking about. Holy. Holy. There were many times, well, let me give you this verse. Joshua 24:15. Joshua said to the people, after they had conquered the land, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house," listen carefully, "we will." If my heart feels like it or my mind. No, we will serve the Lord. We'll serve the Lord. There were many times as a young father and a young preacher that I took my family away from my family reunions and my family get-togethers because I was more willing to follow God than I was my own family. I've got a cousin, second cousin. The other day, I said it was my niece, but it's my second cousin, who is an Indianapolis Colts cheerleader. Her and her squad were going to come and perform for our family reunion. I said, "Not in front of my boys, you're not. Not in front of my boys." See, there was a time in this country we had a will to follow God. Didn't matter what other people said. We had a will to follow God. We need to get that will back. We need to have the will to dominate our minds and our hearts. So our soul is the deciding factor and votes for the spirit and not for the flesh. That's what we need to do. Holy, 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 follow Him. Some of you just need to get a strong will for God and have a whole will. Our will must dominate our minds and our hearts so we will wholly follow Him. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I'll just ask a question and I'm going to have prayer and then I'll turn the invitation over to the preacher. Tonight, how many here tonight would say, "Brother Bragg, I'm saved, I'm born again. I know it because the Spirit of God deals with my heart and speaks to me and reminds me that I'm saved. I know it, I'm saved. Have no doubt about it, I'm born again." Would you slip your hand up big and high? I know it, I know it, I know it, I know it, I know it. Have no doubt about it. All right, God bless you. You can take your hands down. Let me ask this question real quick. Is there anyone here tonight that would say, "Preacher, I'm not sure if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. I'm not sure about it, but I'd like to know. Would you pray for me?" Anyone like that at all? Pray for me. "I'm not sure if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. I'd like to know that. I'd like to be assured of that. I'd like to know that." All right, let me ask two more questions, then I'm going to pray and turn it over to the preacher. The question is this. What are you doing that you know God isn't pleased with? What are you doing that you know that God is not pleased with? Or is there something you're doing that God is not pleased with? And your will is not wholly given to Him. Your will. I could stop it if I wanted to. Well, no, you can. You can. God's given you the power. There is no temptation taking you. Such is common to man. But God with the temptation will give you a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. That's Bible. Preacher, there's something that I'm doing that I need to stop doing. God's not pleased with. I'm not wholly following Him. Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up? Anyone like that? God bless you, and you, and you, and you, and you. God bless you. God bless you. This question, the last question, and I'm going to pray. Is there anyone here tonight that would say, "Preacher, Brother Bragg, there's some things that I need to do that I know I'm not doing. Might be soul winning, might be Bible reading, might be prayer. I don't know. God's dealing with your heart about it. I'm not doing some things that I know I should do. Brother Bragg, would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up big and high? That's me. That's me." Several hands, several hands. More sins of omission than sins of commission. Father, we pray now that you'd bless these that raise their hands. Some said that they're doing some things that are not pleasing to you. Father, I pray that you'd help us to wholly, with our will, follow you. Heavenly Father, I pray for them. They'd stop doing that. God, you've given us power to overcome. Father, help them. And then others who are not doing some things they should do. I pray that the Spirit of God would encourage them tonight to commit that will to you and determine, I will do that for you. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for saving us. I pray now that you bless in Jesus' name.